In the second phase, you're going to start talking to people who have done it before you, and you're going to get scared and you're going to say, no way, this is not for me. But then in the third phase, you're going to take everything you know from both of those, and you can really decide, like, is this or is this not something that I want to do? And that's exactly what happened. We were sort of looking for something to do when Dave retired. And I was a dry bar client in one of the cities that he played in, and I loved it. And I thought it was a great concept. I loved getting blowouts. So, I mean, there was that, but also I thought it really provides a good opportunity. Shortly after, we came back and we decided to sign our franchise agreement. And this is something that we definitely want to do. We had our next big oh shit moment because I got pregnant.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. This is your host, Blessing Adesio, founder and CEO of Mother Honestly. On this show, we interview ambitious women that are thriving in and beyond motherhood. Expect honest and real conversations that will encourage and inspire you to take actions on your dreams.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. We have our founder and CEO of Mother Honestly, Blessing, COO Nicole, and our very special guest, Erin Moss, operating partner of Dry Bar Birmingham, hockey wife, boy mom, reality TV star, and philanthropist. And myself, Kristen Boffo, your podcast manager.
Awesome. Super excited, Erin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm surprised you're here. Especially after our party was that Wednesday?
Well, you guys were having a party. I was working. I had one glass of champagne.
She's like, I'm working.
I had three. Oh my! Don't repeat that to my husband. But I was just like we were doing interviews, and I stood up. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
And I grabbed another glass of wine.
Oh. Sometimes you just need an extra. You know?
I was doing a public service. I heard we had to get rid of the rosé, so yes. I downed two glasses myself. So.
Yes. Yeah.
That was fun. That was really fun. So for those that don't know, we had a party, well, sort of party. It's really a networking evening at Dry Bar. So we had a Dry Bar and Mother Honestly event. That was really amazing. So one of the things that we do here is we have kind of like a founder's talk after hours with amazing powerhouse moms around the country. And we went to Erin and we said, hey, you know, can we come to Dry Bar? And she was like, yes, of course. And of course, I love Dry Bar. The branding, the yellow, which is Mother Honestly colors as well.
I'm a Dry Bar junkie. I've already been there a handful of times.
Oh my goodness.
Name is on the book. So. A bit.
And then I discovered the best product ever, the silk pillowcase.
I saw your post on Facebook, and I was like, I'm going to go grab one right away.
Life changing.
So you'll see me on Saturday.
Perfect.
I consider myself a beauty junkie. I will spend $300 for skincare, no big deal. I spent a fortune to have my hair done. I have read for decades about the silk pillow in every magazine. I'm like, what could a pillowcase possibly do?
Until.
Truly.
I am totally converted. I woke up. I did not have a rat's nest on my head. My hair, my curls were still beautiful. And my loose waves were on point. I got up, walked out. My husband's like, why have you already done your hair? I'm like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
I got to get a silk pillowcase.
It's great, man. I just started using it too. Same. I know I've needed this. The Skinny Confidential tells me every week on her podcast that I need this. Yeah. I sell them. And I didn't have one. Right. And I started using it maybe 3 weeks ago. I'm like, I look 25 again. This is amazing.
Yeah. Well, and that was the other, it isn't just the hair. It's your face. No more of those I look like I have face planted on my pillow all night.
No
wrinkles. Mm-hmm. My skin was smooth. I'm like, I don't know what the silk pillow is doing, but it's doing it really well.
It's doing it really well. So definitely everybody go grab that pillowcase.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's at a Dry Bar Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? 137 Maple Road?
137 Maple.
Look at me, guys.
Nice work.
Tells you how often she's been there.
I'm like, I need to know exactly where this pillowcase is located. So Erin, tell us more about yourself.
I have kind of a long and convoluted path to get to where I am today. But I was a hairstylist. I didn't really know, out of high school, I didn't really have, a great path. I was going to school for music. That was, my big grand plan. I was going to a liberal arts school. And I had always been like in choir, and I was like the girl that always had the solo. So I was like, I'm going to be a singer.
And then, like, picture you.
Yeah. So now we're like getting very close to the end of summer and college is about to start. I'm like, I'm not really wanting to be a waitress. So maybe I should come up with a backup plan. And I went to my parents and I said, listen, I don't want to do this. I've got to do something else. And they said, fine, take a year, figure out what you want to do with your life. But at the end of that year, you have to go to school for something. And that year came and went. And when it was up, I was like, I'll go to beauty school. Sounds easy. And so I did. And it was not actually nearly as easy as I thought it was going to be. And I thought that was going to be sort of like delaying the inevitable, where I could maybe do hair for a little bit, like while I went to school for something else. Like, I always had these like big grand plans of what my life was going to look like. I just didn't.
Beauty school dropout.
Same, but that's a whole nother story. And I went back and I graduated. It was fine. But I had all these big ideas, and I thought that this was kind of like a stepping stone where I would like do hair for a little bit while I figured it out. And then within like the first couple of weeks, I realized like this was something I had a real affinity for. And also they said, like, do you know how much money you can make by like owning a salon or like being really successful at hair? And I was like, oh, money talks to me. Like, okay, I am in.
You can do this.
And so I like quickly started off in a great career. I assisted at a really cool place. Like, I worked under some great people. And then I went on to have my own like pretty successful career, and it was great. I moved at one point in my career and just like gave it all up for a dude. Wouldn't recommend it if you're in a business where you have to have a clientele. They will not move across the country with you, and you have to start from the bottom again. But while I was doing that, I moved to Louisville, Kentucky. The guy didn't work out, but
Louisville,
my life.
Kentucky.
I know. Oh my goodness. I know. And he didn't even have like a good job that he was moving for. But I was like,
right,
I'm in love. Like, of course I'm going
to
go. So that did not work out, obviously. But while I was there, I had some friends in town for the Kentucky Derby, and we were out to lunch the day after dinner, something. I don't know. We were hungover. But we were out to eat, and there was very few people in town left. On Sunday morning, everybody gets on a flight and leaves town. But I lived there, and my friends were all hairstylists, so they didn't have to be to work till Tuesday. So we were at a restaurant. We were just, like, talking, laughing, like, having fun, whatever. And this girl comes up to me, and she says, hey, I don't want to be weird or anything, but I've been sitting at this table, like, you know, across the room, and I just think you're loud and you're funny and you seem like you have a great personality for television. Ooh. And I flipped my hair and I was like, of course, okay. I do, thanks. And she said, I do casting for Survivor, and would you ever be interested? And I was like, not a chance. It's my parents' favorite show. I've seen every episode, and not on your life would I ever do it. And she was like, okay, well, here's my card. Give me your email. Like,
if you're interested later.
Like, I work for other shows too. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'll do anything else. And then she and I just kind of kept in touch like over the next couple of months. And in the meantime, I broke up with the dude. I moved back home. It was like a really kind of like crappy situation. He wasn't a good guy. It was like he was like not great. So I was just like not at a really great place in my life. And she at one point said to me, if you come and do this, like, you can go to a place in the world where he won't know where you are. And like, you can figure your life out and come back and, like, a new person. And that was all I needed to hear.
And you were like, I'm going to do this.
Yes. Yeah, okay, let's go. And so I did. It was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Oh, my goodness.
Is Survivor, right?
Yes.
Survivor.
Yeah. So I was in Brazil. We were in the middle of the desert. I didn't even know there was a desert in Brazil.
In Brazil?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a desert in Brazil either.
Looks like southern Arizona. but it was really, like, physically challenging. It was mentally so much tougher than I ever expected it to be. And I went on to get third place. I was the last woman standing. And that was nothing that I ever envisioned for myself.
After you said you would never do Survivor.
Yeah. Turns out I'm a total badass, and I was really great at it. But it sort of, like, changed the trajectory of my whole life. After that, I went on to do a lot of very cool like charity functions with the organization. We did USO tours where we traveled all around the world, going to different military bases and like reaching out with families and stuff that were living on the bases, things like that. And just like really neat opportunities. And in the meantime, I had moved back to Milwaukee where I'm from. I was like close to my family again. I just had this like much better like view of myself and confidence and all these great things. I had like built my business back up. I was doing really well. Like everything was like great and wonderful.
The stars were aligned, yeah.
Yeah, and I met my husband right around the same time. And it was just like a perfect time in my life for me to meet somebody and be really open to something. I literally had a girl walk into my salon and say, I'm going to a wedding tonight. The best man is your husband. If you don't meet him, you'll regret it forever. Wow. And I was like, I'll go have a drink. Like, what do I have to lose? And she was right. And
I feel like that's like the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. It's like the meet cute in a movie.
Totally. Totally. he was a professional hockey player. I had not a lot of interest in meeting an athlete. And because you've like heard all the stories.
And your husband is amazing.
He is the nicest man I have ever met in my life. He is nothing that you would expect when you hear that, like, oh, you should go on a date with this guy. Like, he's a professional athlete. Like,
I was expecting like somebody snobbish. And then we walked in and literally like the first person to speak to me. And then I was doing my hair. He came right down and was like, oh, my God, I love your son. Mm-hmm. And then we started, like, I think we chatted for another 20 minutes. I was like, OK, please, I have to release you now.
Yeah.
Like, he's really amazing.
Yeah. He's just like a great, wonderful guy. We met when we were a little bit older. We were 29. So we decided to wait until he was done playing to have kids. Then when he was like fully retired, we had our first. He decided that he wanted to like he wasn't quite ready to hang him up yet. So we went overseas with our oldest son when he was 3 months old.
And how old is your son now?
He's 3. So when he was 3 months old, my husband got a call and said, we want you to come play on this team. You have to be here tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was Thanksgiving Day. And I'm like, I have a 3 month old who doesn't have a passport. He was like, well, I can go tomorrow. You can go downtown, get like a same day passport. And so he went on Friday. My son and I were there, I think, on Monday. And the three of us just like hung out in Switzerland for a season and a very cool experience. Three of us went to Switzerland.
And four came back.
Four came back. Four. Okay, great. Not a lot to do there.
Great.
So.
Not advisable, guys.
Yes. After that season, like now we're looking at two kids. We decided it was time to be like fully retired, living back in Michigan. And now like we are going to be adults and move on with our lives. And I had not worked in quite a few years because I couldn't keep a clientele while we were moving all around for him playing. And we sort of had talked about, like, what are we going to do next? What's our next step? Like, we're not – retired doesn't really work. Like, he's retired from the NHL, but there's not
I mean, and
doesn't pay
and,
all the bills.
Exactly.
So the athlete world, how does it work? Like you have this career until 30 something years old, and then you have to kind of recreate yourself again, pretty much.
Yeah. Or you just like spend all your money and go broke quickly.
And so the whole time you were staying home.
Yeah. Yeah. So while he
supporting
was
supporting his dreams and his career.
Yeah. I mean, truly, like you are. Your family is a brand. Your husband is a brand. And it takes a lot of work to make that happen. His day-to-day was so strictly scheduled from, like, his wake-up time in the morning, go to, like, what he eats before he goes to the rink. He goes to the rink for practice. He comes home. Like, he takes a nap at the same time every day. Like,
he eats
on game days the exact same meal always. And it's literally same thing for breakfast, go to the rink, do a workout, come home, like have this like very specific meal, have a nap from this time to this time, wake up, get a coffee, go back to the rink.
And
like
all
this routine.
While you were the one managing all of this,
yes, pretty much.
So, you were, in my opinion, she was walking. I mean,
you were
managing this portfolio.
You were CEO of Moss Family.
Yes. I mean, there are a lot of things that are great about being an athlete's wife, for sure. There are some amazing perks that go along with it, but it is a lot of work. like to maintain that sort of schedule. And you're doing that for 42 games in a 6-month period.
Wow.
At home. That's not counting what goes on the road. And then when they are on the road, then you're doing things for the team. There's a lot of like philanthropic things that the team does, just that like Dave and I do on our own. And it's also like kind of isolating, kind of lonely. Like you could have your husband gone for 2.5 weeks if they have like a long stretch of road games.
Yeah.
And then if you, I didn't have kids at the time, but if you do have kids, like you're single parenting that entire time. And generally, like you hope you're on a really great team with other great women and you have like a solid network
some
of people
of support
to,
system.
To help you through it.
Correct.
But you're removed from your family. Like you may have just shown up 2 days ago to a team that's already been established for the entire year and like created all their relationships and has their routine, and you're just being thrown into it because your husband got traded or, you know, whatever. So there's definitely, I will never complain about the life that we had, but it's not like all like the, you know, unicorns and rainbows.
Yeah, it's not all the glam.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of work to it.
And we talk yes. about that. People see all the upsides. They see mm-hmm. all the stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. They can see your husband's salary, you know, on ESPN and in yep. the news, and people go, oh, what a life. And they don't realize how nomadic it is,
yep.
how
yep.
isolating it Correct. Is, how yep. much work that is,
yeah.
how hard it is on a family. It's not for everyone, but people just see the paycheck
yeah.
and yeah. getting to be on TV.
And yeah. especially choosing to be a mom of two at that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine having to like support this really rigorous schedule and then having to support two boys mm-hmm. and then managing the home. I mean, it speaks to the fact that, you know, stay-at-home moms don't get enough credit,
yeah.
especially in a society where we think that, you know, moms are quote-unquote staying home and, you know, literally just doing laundry, when in reality they are actually managing a portfolio.
Well, mm-hmm. And I think actually your husband spoke very well to that, because he had said that after he retired, he was working. You were at home with the two kids, and he'd come home and he'd be like, I don't get it. Why yeah. didn't the laundry get done? And now the tables are turned with you taking on this new adventure, and his schedule is more flexible, and he finds himself now at home with three kids, and he'll be like, babe, I'm sorry, I just couldn't get to yeah. the laundry.
You're like, honey.
And that he did not realize until that moment
Correct.
How much
yeah.
work, quote unquote, staying at home.
And that was the first
and
thing he said to me.
It was
Blessing, I did not realize just how much work goes into managing a home until Erin started the dry bar. Like, I didn't realize that it was just so much work. And I think for that, he was really appreciative.
Yeah.
He was very, very appreciative. He sounded like the, you know, like, oh my God, this is real. Like, this is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has been that pillar of support for so long, and now I can see it.
And how nice to have him like recognize that
yeah.
too. I mean, I'm a mom whose husband works, you know, crazy hours, and a lot of times I feel like a single mom, because
yeah.
even when he comes home, I know that he's been working all day, and I kind of, you know, I pick up that slack, you know, just to keep things going. And so to have him, you know, recognize that whole experience that you went through is, you know, that's mm-hmm. really, really nice. I mean, my husband gets it too, but
yeah, we do have, it's different, because I mean, I stopped my career so he could continue
right.
his, and that is like, it's just a different kind of support than what generally happens, right? And like, he is so appreciative of that, that when I said like, hey, this is something that I think I want to do, it's going to take a lot of help from you too. He was the first one to say, like, you did this for me, like, I will sign up to do this for you. And there's not a chance in hell that Birmingham, Michigan would have a dry bar if it were not for him making that decision.
That's you amazing. Made my dry bar dreams come true by bringing it to Birmingham. You have no idea.
So let's talk about, you know, how dry bar in Birmingham came to be. Because I literally, you guys are the only dry bar in Michigan, am
yep.
I right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you, you know, you were this quote-unquote stay-at-home mom. And how did all of this happen? How did you stumble into dry bar? How did you kick everything off? Like, everything seemed, I mean, from the outside,
mm-hmm.
seems like everything just kind of rolled off smoothly. And now we have this beautiful space.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I think I stumbled on you when I was walking through.
Yeah.
I was walking right across in front of Birmingham. And I told my sister, I was like, can you do a boomerang of me? So we're doing boomerangs. And Erin came along and she was like, I can help you guys. And I was like, actually, who is the owner of this place? And she was like, me. I was like, oh. No,
and I think it's really important, as you start telling the story of how dry bar came to be, we and I think not even just women, but as humans, we always go, you know, if I can just lose 10 pounds, I'll start dating, or I'll as soon as the kids grow up, I'll go back to school. Like, we keep waiting for the perfect moment. So how about we discuss all the not perfect moments that came, as you know, along with dry bar? Because I think it's momentous in this story is to really prove that you could have missed a great opportunity if you just waited for the perfect moment.
So we were, like I said, we were sort of looking for something to do when Dave retired. And this was, I was a dry bar client in one of the cities that he played in, and I loved it. And I thought it was a great concept. I loved getting blowouts. So, I mean, there was that. But also I thought it really provides a good opportunity to young stylists who are starting out in their career. And I always had in the back of my mind, like, if I could provide that to, like, women where I live, I think that that would be an amazing thing to do. And so we talked about it a little bit. I said, like, hey, I'm interested in doing this. I contacted the company, and we started the long approval process of like bringing dry bar to Michigan. And it was a very long process. We went through, like they said in the beginning, this is a three-phase process. In the first phase, you're going to be really excited about it. You're going to learn everything we have to tell you. It's going to be awesome. In the second phase, you're going to start talking to people who have done it before you, and you're going to get scared, and you're going to say, no way, this is not for me. But then in the third phase, you're going to take everything you know from both of those, and you can really decide, like, is this or is this not something that I want to do? And that's exactly what happened. We were super pumped, like, yes, this is a proven concept. This makes money. Like, these people have been successful. Then we started talking to people, and I found out how much work is involved. And, like, I'm a young mom. I have two little boys. Like, am I going to be able to be away from them? Like, I don't know. And it scared me. And it's a huge, huge investment. And it's an investment that I'm making with money my husband made before I met him. And that scared me. What if I lose it? What if I lose his money? You know, like, that was something that made me really nervous. And I took a step away from this. And I was like, we're not doing it. I will not take the risk. Like, that's not something that I can do. You've worked so hard for this. Like, I'm not willing to take that risk. And then the more we talked about it, he was the one to say, I really think that, like, you are the perfect person to do this. You can run a salon in your sleep. Like, it's all I've ever done. My mom did hair. Like, I've always been in salons. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I think this is a sound investment. This is a good idea. If we can figure out, like, the time aspect of it, and we can wrap our heads around, you know, you maybe not being home for the first couple of years. If we can figure that out, then this is something that could really work for us. So we sat down and we decided that, yes, we're going to have to really put in the work right now. And we're going to miss a lot of things. Like, I am a non-participating member of my family on most days. I am at the shop 7 days a week usually, and we're open 12 hours a day.
And that's because this is kind of like the growth phase.
It's right? A new baby. Yeah,
exactly.
It's the season for that.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, I spend a lot of time away from home. But we sat down and we said, we understand that this is what's going to happen. And yes, I will really miss my kids. It will be really hard for me. But at the end of the day, they are not going to remember this. And when it's really important that I am there, I will be there, because we'll have, you know, systems in place where I don't have to be in the shop every day. Like, my hope is that 3 years from now, I have a couple of them open. I drop my kids off at school. I pop into, you know,
just
one store a day. Like, I check in. I make sure the managers are all doing well. Everybody has whatever they need. I pick my kids up from school. I go on with my day.
Yeah, and I think that once the dry bar, you know, in Birmingham and a few other spots that you're hoping to open up, once they're self-sufficient, then you get all of that time back.
Yes.
Like, so I was in the same situation where I was always traveling. You know, I had this global consulting job, and I was always, like, either in Europe, Middle East, or Asia. And I was never home. And, you know, those were, quote unquote, time that my daughter doesn't really remember, because she was only four. Like, she, I mean, of course, she knows that I was traveling, but, you know, she doesn't, today she's not going to be like, oh my goodness, like you missed my entire life because you were traveling. So we had that season. And I think that that's one point that, you know, I like to bring up in situations like this where, you know, women are kind of, you know, there's that mom guilt, like, oh my God, you know, I'm not there. And I tell people motherhood is a season and your life is a season, you know, you're never going to have that perfect, you know, situation all of the time. Right. There'll be times where it's just, you know, you need to put your heads down and do the work. And then there'll be time when you really have that time, you know, again, 3 years from now, when you have that time and you're just kind of popping in to see how the managers are doing, is everything fine? I think that that's where you finally, oh, okay, you know, I can breathe now. Yep. This is a new season.
And I think it's important to point out that she's putting in the work now to be able to be there later. Yes. And I think it's important that people understand, like, a lot of hard work went into getting you to that point where now you can do the drop off, you can pop into your stores, and then you are present in the evening with your family.
Yeah.
And another thing that, you know, I think needs to come up as well is, you know, the power of just that supportive spouse. Because I think that, you know, especially with, you know, and I think we've talked about this before, you know, with the Me Too movement and just, you know, sometimes negative energy around men. But I think we need to remember that there are amazing, you know, men out there that are super supportive of their wives' careers. And they you know, they know how to be present. They know how to show up. And I mean, I think we saw that on Wednesday at Dry Bar where, you know, your husband was really hands-on. Like, he knew where, like, everything was. It was, like, literally picking up the cookie jar, like, you know, finding stuff for us. So for me, I think that really just pointing out the fact that, you know, men are supportive and they support our careers. And if we can just find that compelling factor, because sometimes, I don't know, I think maybe you can speak to this later on, or maybe you already have, around, you know, how you were able to present that compelling factor to your husband and say, hey, this is a business that we need to do. So you almost need to have your, you know, SHIT together and say, this is what I see, this is what's going to happen, you know, do you support it? Because that's kind of the way we operate in my house. When I want to do more, honestly, I said, look, I know I have a full-time career, but this is something that is important to me. And I laid everything out and I said, will you be supportive? And he was like, you know what, if this is really your dream and I can see how passionate you are, I will be supportive. I know that, you know, there'll be evenings when you wouldn't be available. There'll be days where you need to travel, and I am on board. So I don't know what your experience has been in that aspect.
Very similar. So we got to this point where he said, like, yeah, like, I think that this is, for him, it was like the money and it was the thing that I was going to do. Like, he didn't see himself being involved in it. Like, he was like, this is an investment. Like, this is a good one. It's a good business. Like, you can go and do this. Like, yes, we will do it. This is a great idea. What he didn't anticipate, I don't think, was how much he enjoys being there. Like, he, when he stopped playing hockey, he really missed, like, the locker room, the camaraderie. Like, he never in a million years would have pictured himself, like, loving showing up at a salon and, like, getting women champagne and coffee and
tough
everything
hockey
else.
Player turn.
Right?
But,
yeah. You know,
I mean, let's be serious, partner. Though. Isn't a hair or a nail salon just the woman's version of a locker room?
Totally.
Literally. Exactly.
Totally.
Like, we were having, like, so much. We were having a fun time.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Where we talk shit. Yep. It's where we gossip.
Yep.
It's where we share, like, the things that are working and not working in our lives. And we feel like it's our safe space because it's all us chickens. and I think that they kind of feel the same way. So I think it's a totally natural thing. Men are just missing out on this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, he did. He had to be pitched on it. And part of that was when you go through the approval process, you go out to Orange County where the headquarters are, and you're there for a couple of days. You're meeting the founders of the company. Do they like you? Do they want you to be a part of their family? Because it is very small, and like this, like Dry Bar is Ali Webb's baby. It's like giving your baby
to
somebody else.
I know. I have a girl crush on Ali Webb.
Oh, she did respond when I tagged her. Yeah. She responded and she came and liked our pictures. She even sent me a DM. So I'm totally like.
Yeah. I modeled my haircut after Ali Webb.
But I mean, like, that is like a big factor. And one of the pieces of the puzzle is that you go in and you work in a busy Dry Bar for the day. because I have a hair background, but nobody else in the company does. Like, these other owners do not. There's one other girl who was also a former stylist who is an operating partner as well. But the rest of them are business people with all sorts of different backgrounds. And they might show up and, like, work in a salon on a Friday morning and be like, this is not for me. When this is very much what the job is, they have to be owner-operated. So, like, part of the deal is I am there all the time. You know, like, I am the face of of this location. And so Dave came with me because I was like, I think this is important for you to see and for you to see what our life is like. And that was, like, the light bulb moment for him of where you could see somebody coming in, like, in a bad mood, kind of frumpy, like, whatever. And then, like, just something as simple as 30 minutes having her hair done, walking out like a completely different person, like, whole new sense of confidence. Like,
I love that.
Like, Drybar is a business that is built solely on selling, like, happiness and confidence. And you can see it. You can absolutely see it every 45 minutes in our shop. And when he saw it, that was when he was really like, okay,
I mean,
we are all in. And then shortly after, we came back and we decided to sign our franchise agreement. And this is something that we definitely want to do. We had our next big oh shit moment because I got pregnant.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah. I think I reached out to you and I was like, wait a minute, she just had a what?
Yeah, so I have a 3-month-old Drybar and a 3-month-old baby. And the timing could not have been... It's not bad timing. It's just not great timing.
But, you know, like, that's when those amazing things happen. They never happen on your schedule. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Never.
We were so far down the road. Like, we had our location. We were, like, in the middle of negotiating a lease, like, in a space that I was not willing to give up. And the timing was not going to be good. We were slated to open 6 weeks before I was due. And I just said, like, we're just going to roll with it. Like, one thing that I have always said is, it's totally fine. It's going to be easy. I say that about everything. No matter what it is, it makes my husband and my mother-in-law go crazy. It makes them crazy. But that is just, like, the outlook that I have always had on life is say yes and we'll figure it out. And so this was the first time I said this is not going to be easy, but it is going to be totally fine and we will figure it out. And it was great because we opened on time. Like, what construction project ever happens on time?
Oh my gosh.
Was because every single phone call that we made, like, with our architect, with our general contractor, with every single person involved, I said, I will not open a business and have a baby in the same week, so get it done.
You bet.
And, and they listened because I was an angry pregnant girl.
So that was what happened when we did our house. I was pregnant, heavily pregnant, and we were due any time. And I literally, like, told my husband and all the construction people there. I said, look, this is what's going to happen if you guys don't get this done. And if I have this baby, first of all, you're going to have to pay for my hotel downtown.
Yep.
And at the same time, I will... like, stomp down on you, like, you would not believe. They were like, okay, all right, windows, everything, okay, hat floors, all done, ma'am, all done. You were going to say something, Nicole.
Well, it's just, you know, and I, because it isn't even just these things. I mean, first of all, they say woman makes a plan and God laughs. So, which totally happened, because not only did she sign onto a huge commitment with money that they had been saving from a previous career, she finds out she's pregnant. But the location she's in, and for those of you who know Birmingham, Michigan, all know that it went into massive construction in the downtown area. It was a huge public works project.
Nobody told me that was happening when I signed my lease.
Right. And so, so all this construction's happening in the middle of a huge public works project where the downtown is basically closed off to vehicles. So it's pedestrian traffic only, but kind of.
How did you guys pull that off? I remember now, because we weren't able to, like, literally.
It looked like a ghost town
down there. It was a shit show.
It was a ghost town, and the construction stopped. One building short of where your location was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to talk about, like, not perfect planning, and yet everything came together.
Yeah. I mean, so in my sense of it's totally fine, this will be easy, like, it'll be easy. Through the whole process, I just said, until something goes horribly wrong, I'm not going to anticipate it going wrong. I'm just going to say it's going to be fine until it's not. And that was my outlook on construction. And it was kind of great when we were under construction because our trucks could actually get in and park on the street because the construction project, like where the road was closed, happened right in front of my front door.
Oh my goodness.
So they could pull up and park. Like all of our painters, like our everybody, like so every contractor we had could park there. So it was great for construction. It was also like not the worst thing once we opened because everything stopping there, people had to cross the street right in front of my building. Ooh. So it forced foot traffic in front of us. So that was okay. And also I didn't have any prior year's business to compare it to. So there wasn't like all the businesses around were like, we're down like, you know, 60% from last year. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, well, I don't know any different. Like I'm right. up 1,000% because I didn't have last year.
So starting from zero here.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe I could have been busier if we had opened in a normal situation, but I don't know the difference. And I was happy with what we did and it was fine. And then like the streets opened and the business came. Like we did okay in the beginning. Like we were still busy. Like things were good.
Correct.
And we have just gotten busier and busier and busier.
That's amazing.
Since,
so something that you had mentioned when we were at Drybar was setting the goals, setting the intentions, and having no expectation. Mm-hmm. Am I quoting you correctly?
Yep.
And that really resonated with me. I actually brought it up with my husband when I got home that night. But listening to you now, and you know, you saying you just. You basically approached everything from it's going to work out.
Yep.
Can you walk us through like how you do that? Because I feel like that's such a powerful tool mm-hmm. that especially as women where we just put so much expectations on ourselves
yep.
and it drives us crazy. And it's just for me, I'm like, I need that. Like I need to know how to do that.
So I heard this from someone, but I can't remember where I heard it, but I've really taken it to heart and I've started doing it. Every morning when I wake up, I set my intentions for the day and goals for the day. And when I say set intentions, I don't mean like I set my intention for the day in like a hippy dippy way. Like I literally mean I intend to make it home for dinner. I intend to have my email inbox empty by noon. Like I'm going to make it my goal to call all of these people back. I'm going to make it my goal to make sure that like everything is stocked in the shop for the weekend so that we don't run out of champagne in the middle of Sunday morning. And I set goals, I set intentions, but I never set expectations. Because if I don't meet a goal, it can go on tomorrow's list. If I didn't get that done tomorrow, or if I didn't get it done today, I can always do it tomorrow. If I intended to make it home for dinner, but I didn't, like, my husband's going to understand, like my kids are going to be okay. Like I'll see them when they wake up in the morning. It will be fine. But if I have an expectation where that is what I expect of myself or what someone else expects of me and I don't meet it, I'm going to beat myself up about that.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It's going to make me feel terrible. I'm going to feel like I'm failing, whether it's something at home or something at the shop or, you know, and something with my friends, like anything. If I can't meet that expectation, then it's just like a knock to my own confidence where I am in a place where I can't afford that right now. I'm like Instagram life, right? Like this sounds like it's like all like great and roses. You walk into my shop and it's beautiful and like we're busy and things are going well. Like you see a picture of my kids on Instagram. I have three very handsome little boys. Like we're always having fun. Like it's whatever. Like that is not my real life. That's my real life right now.
It is your real life, but it's curated.
Yes. Yeah,
there are definitely parts of your life. This is absolutely your life.
Yes.
There's also probably a shit show in someone's bedroom and something hasn't been cleaned up.
Yes.
And you didn't get to the party, but it is
It
is your life.
Yes, yes. That is true. But I am very much right now surviving, not thriving. And I am like I'm not even one day at a time. I'm 1 hour at a time. I mean, I have a newborn still and mm-hmm. this new business. Like, and sometimes he sleeps through the night and sometimes he does not. Like, thankfully, he's my easiest baby because the universe owes me something. They didn't give me a girl, so I got a baby who sleeps. But
isn't that perfect, though? And the that time that funny. You need it, that's what you got.
Yes,
so.
Yeah.
I love that whole thing about setting intentions instead of expectations because I'm definitely one of those people that I set expectations for myself and then I don't meet one and I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
Because I'm beating myself up and I'm like, well, I already didn't do that. So
yeah.
I like the idea of just switching my mindset to this is what I intend to do. And yeah. if I don't get to it, oh, well.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Like the world will not fall apart.
Right.
Because you didn't get the laundry done or, you know, like whatever that thing is. Like,
and I think that's a very good point. If you don't get through your to-do lists, it's absolutely fine. You know, take a chew pill, grab a glass of wine, relax, and get through it the next day.
But it's easier said than done. And I was having this conversation with a girlfriend who is runs a huge business in network marketing and is busy, two kids, traveling all over the country, and has a phenomenal business. And I was saying the same thing, that on a particular day, I had been busy from the minute I woke up until like 5 o'clock. And I'm like, and the house was going to be quiet for another 30 minutes before everyone started coming in from school and work. And I'm like, I'm going to take this 30 minutes and read. I just want to sit down and read. And I swear to you, laying on that sofa trying to read for 30 minutes, the three unmade beds upstairs were mocking me. I could hear them mocking me. It was like, it took me so much to just, I'm like, you're going to read this book. I should go upstairs and make the beds. You should read this book. I'm like, it's so much easier said than done. I did actually read for 30 minutes, but man, it was like the most uncomfortable 30 minutes trying to force myself to relax.
And don't you love like the very last 30 minutes until, you know, everybody walks in, that's when everything, you're like, oh my God, you know, where did the time go? Like, I didn't get this done. I didn't get that done. And it happens to me all the time. And I like to remind myself that you got enough done. You got enough done for the day. You know, you can relax and take care of your family.
And the thing is, the only person that cares is me. Like my boys, well, first of all, even if the beds are made, they will come home at 3:30 and crawl into their beds for half an hour before they have to go off to sports or whatever else just to chill. And my husband could care less. The only person those beds are getting made for is me in the first place. Like, it's all on me. And it's totally in my head because no one is judging me, like, at the end of the day over the made or unmade beds. But it means all the world to me to sit down for that 30 minutes. Get that book or focus on myself or go get a blowout.
Get a blowout.
My self-care. I'm so excited you're back, or not back, but here in Birmingham, because with my first daughter when I was pregnant, I suffer from hyperemesis, so pregnancy is just a struggle for me. And one of the things I did for myself twice a week in my very last trimester is I went and got blowouts twice a week, and it was just my thing, and it was my moment to just chill and embrace this pregnancy, even though it's so it's such a struggle. But so you'll
helps
be seeing
you feel
me
better.
Pretty soon a lot more than you already do.
Awesome. So question for you, what time do you wake up since you have all those things going on?
5:50.
Wow.
That is internal alarm. That doesn't mean I get out of bed, but our dry bar is open always. Like, we cater to a working woman, we cater to moms, we cater to like young girls who work late at night, you know. So we are open 12 hours a day. We open at 7 a.m.
Wow.
So at 5:50, I wake up, like, internal alarm clock. That is just like my time that I get up. And I look at the books for the day. I see if we're going to have any issues. I hope and pray that I don't have a text message from any of my staff calling out. But I have to check those things, because a 5:50 opening or a 7 a.m. opening means that somebody actually has to be in the building at 6:30. Wow. I live 35 minutes away. So if that somebody has to be me, if something is going on, I need to find out about it right away. So I check for any issues that are happening, anything that could potentially like need my attention. I also like to start every day making money.
Love that. Slogan.
Yeah.
Start every day making money.
We sell memberships. And if you buy a membership, you know, you get so many blowouts a month. I'm not doing
what
a sales pitch right
now. No, I need to know.
Two blowouts a month.
Okay.
Our blowouts are $45. The membership is $80 for the month. You get two blowouts. You get $5 off any additional blowout, a free one on your birthday, and 10% off of all product.
It's
almost like I've said this before. Oh. It's the Barfly membership. But those memberships, like, so you come in on the 15th of the month, you purchase your membership, and then on the 15th of every month, like, you get charged again. It's like a renewing thing. But I don't have it set up on an auto renew. So every morning when I wake up, I check those books, and then there is something.
So sorry to stop you there. So why isn't it on auto renew?
Because I like the feeling of just being able to hit the button to charge the memberships for that day so that I personally see that I have started the day profitable.
I see. So mm-hmm. you're the one. Basically, you have the credit. Sorry for those people that are not into businessy things.
Yep. Yeah.
So basically, you have the credit card on file and you just kind of like hit. Okay.
Literally, I can say like which people are supposed to, you know, get charged today. Like I've hit a series of things and then I can see them tally and see them rolling and say like, okay, like five people's memberships were charged today. Correct. We started today making money.
That's amazing. Awesome. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love it. So thank you so much for coming. Where can our listeners find you?
I am Erin_Moss, two N's in Erin, E-R-I-N-N _M-O-S-S on Instagram. And you can always find me at the Dry Bar.
The Dry Bar.
I think I'll be your new Barfly customer. Customer.
And I will see you on Sunday with coffee in hand for you.
Sounds great. Ooh, I'll be there.
All right, ladies. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mama, for joining us on the Mother Honestly podcast. I am your show manager, Kristen Baffo, asking that you please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And for more resources, visit us at motherhonestly.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.